Through a Scottish Prism, the programme that is unapologetically pro-Scottish independence and anti-Westminster rule. Everything we say here is viewed through a Scottish prism. Brought to you by Barhead Boy.
And welcome back, folks, to Through a Scottish Prism. Nice to have you back again. It's been a week since we last spoke. I hope you and yours are all well. And as I like to say, this is hopefully is now a week closer to a COVID-19 vaccination and cure. And I hope till that time comes that you and yours stay safe. Well, I know I always say this, I've always got a great guest, but I wouldn't bring on someone if I didn't think they were great for you. But this is, again, someone I know rather well, a friend of mine from the Eastwood constituency, Col Merrick, who is originally from the Northern Ireland, been here for many years, since about 1980, I believe. He works in IT and has been in Eastwood branch for a long number of years. And we have fought many a campaign together, so it's always nice to catch up with an old buddy and have a good chat. And I hope you're going to enjoy the next hour as much as I am. I don't know about Colm, I hope he does too. So Colm, welcome to Through a Scottish Prism. Nice to have you, my friend.
Roddy, how are you doing? Very good to be here. Thanks very much for having me. And after your kind words, I feel much more relaxed now. So I'm going to enjoy the whole hour chatting with you. It's been far too long.
Well,
even though it's a grey day in Busby at the minute, but that's not too bad. I'm hoping for thunderstorms and showers because I hear there's a guest hanging around somewhere, you know.
Well, I want to make you feel better. It's 31 degrees and sun wall to wall here, just to make you feel better.
So long as somebody's getting good weather.
It is. It's actually too warm. It's too hot for me. My good old Celtic skin, you know. No, it's just too hot. But anyway, you're also a councillor in East Wren, which we're in coalition with and run, and it's been highly praised, as have our councillors, and rightly so. How are you finding that?
Do you know, it's been an absolute privilege to be a councillor here, Roddy. I'm not just saying that, but obviously at the beginning it was a very steep learning curve for us. So we're there now. We have five SNP councillors there, led by Tony Buchanan. Tony's doing a terrific job, and we're in coalition with the four Labour folk and Danny Devlin, the Independent. And I, we're working hard, and we're making our mark. We're doing good things. I think we're getting well received by the vast majority of folk, and I think part of that is we get our heads down, we get on with the work, and we just keep doing that, keep responding, keep working hard, and doing it with love and attention, and respect for people.
That's something that I find quite bizarre. You know, we've got a great working relationship with the Labour Party in East Renfrewshire, and as I say that, East Ren keeps getting all sorts of awards and commendations for how well they're working, and yet the Labour Party in nine other locations would rather sit with the Tories, and they're all the ones that are getting slammed, everything getting shut down, nothing happening, all chaos and mayhem. And it just shows that there's, with the Labour Party, there's more that we agree with than divides us, bar that one thing. That one thing.
That one big question. And we don't talk about that big question to our Labour colleagues in the administration, and they don't talk to us about it. But most of it, when you're down talking about local things, about local people, about education, about poverty, these kind of things, we have a lot of common ground, and we seek out that common ground. We also have a common enemy, our constituency, and we can unite against those outrageous policies, you know.
Yes.
And it worked well. We just work together, and we reach agreement before we go off piste with anything, you know.
Yeah, of course. Well, the other thing, and I think I've explained this to the listeners before, my branch, the Barhead, Neilston and Uplemoor, is in with Eastwood and with Colm and the guys for Westminster and for the council, but for Holyrood, we're in a different seat. Now, it wasn't always the way. We used to be in the first two parliaments, it was that we were all the same seat. I'm not sure. I think it was the first two, certainly the first parliament.
Yeah.
But Tories, our friend Jackson Carlaw is the MSP first in the constituency, but we're going after him this time, aren't we?
Oh, we're going to do everything we can. We're going to get a candidate selected and we're going to go lock, stock and barrels to support them to win this constituency seat, because we think Jackson hasn't really served the people of Eastwood that well. I think he just takes his orders from the bosses in London, whatever those orders may be, and it's not good enough to just say I'm following orders, as we know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he is not exactly a brain of Britain either. The posh voice disguises the fact to many that he's not actually the brightest light on the Christmas tree either.
He just says SNP bad. He has very little else to offer, as far as we can see. Trying to piggyback on some local issues, but getting it wrong, not really understanding what is going on, not getting all the nuances of complicated situations sometimes. No, I think Jackson has had his day. Of course, the additional member system will probably ensure that Jackson does get returned to Holyrood, but I'm sure you're going to touch on that later on, Roddy.
Oh, you bet your bottom dollar, my friend. It's my new thing. I'll not scoot onto it, but yes, I've got it lined up for us to have a chat about. But on the subject matter of Jackson and the SNP bad, when I was saying they're not the brightest lights, they're not. When Nicola has been absolutely magnificent over COVID, her communication skills have been excellent, and they've been even elevated thanks to the idiocy and the clowns south of the border who could not. I mean, I've just made such an absolute mess of everything on the COVID, and she has been so clear, lucid, explained it, and then Jackson attacks her and all these. These clowns that are in the Holyrood, they're attacking her, personalising it, SNP bad, politicising a killer disease. They're mental. It's just stupid, bad politics.
I think it's backfiring. It's not even politics. A good friend of mine who worked in public relations, and I asked him, how do you do your press releases? What do you say? The first thing you do, just start with the truth, and then figure out how you're going to deliver that truth, but start with the truth. And that's what Nicola's done. Starts with the truth, tells the truth, tells it honestly, faces the media, takes whatever they throw, and responds. And it's not just leadership. In my opinion, our First Minister is a statesperson and stands up there with the statespersons that we know of around the world at the minute. And when you see what goes on down in Westminster, the starkness, the contrast between that, and I think that's why a good thing for Scotland, because people are seeing now, in fact, who said we couldn't look after our own affairs? Because here we are, we've elected that this person is First Minister, and she's running rings round Westminster and keeping more people alive than we otherwise would have lived.
For sure.
And that's a big thing to say.
Yeah. No, she has been magnificent, but you have to say that we could... As again, if we'd been an independent country, I think we'd have been even better.
Yeah.
And of course, you can't. There's no proof to that one.
About France and Europe?
You just got to look at Ireland. At the island of Ireland. How much better they've done?
Very much better, and very much their economy will be much more protected with the common market and so on. So. Whereas we won't have that, we're going to have some kind of crazy new internal market, which is, everybody knows, is a thinly disguised power grab and devolution.
Yeah, well, it'll be world leading. It'll be the greatest thing in the world, because it's, you know, with nothing better, because it's, everything's the greatest, isn't it?
Where did you hear that recently? Was that the Test and Trace app you were talking about?
Yeah, that among other things. But I saw a meme going round, and it showed you the countries that had done the best, including Germany, South Korea, New Zealand, I can't remember now, Scotland was mentioned, but it showed you the best, and the ones that have done the worst, like Brazil, America, UK. And the difference was that the ones that were the worst were run by men, and the best ones that had done the best had been run by the female politicians. Not a coincidence at all.
Perhaps the the female politicians were faster at the closing down and just more in tune with their people.
Correct, because the male politicians are more were thinking about the economy all the time, whereas the female politicians just seemed were thinking about what they should have been thinking about, protecting the people, lives. Because if you don't have the lives and the people protected, then there is no economy. Yeah. That's the bit the Trumps and the Boris Johnsons forgot about.
I think it's a very simple principle. Look after your sick, care for your sick, and educate your young.
Yep.
These two things together are very powerful.
Oh, absolutely. And it's the thing that I wrote about yesterday in my blog was the fact that the UK has got the highest death rate in the world and has had since May. It's got the highest infection rate per head of population as well, and some of the worst testing. And yet, they get away with it because our media is so corrupt. It's as if, you know, Johnny Foreigner's having a hard time, but, you know, everything's fine in Britain, in the UK, everything's great. Just, you know, just go on with it. It is ridiculous.
Yeah, you would hope that the media would be really holding people to account. So we look at what happens with the First Minister. Well, they do their very best, and they do hold it account, that's right and proper. But they do seem to use very soft gloves on the Tories in Westminster, and even the Tories in Scotland. And that just isn't fair. That's not giving people a proper democratic perspective on the world and the part of the world we live in. So, yeah, it's up to the media to be sure and certain that they can do that and do it.
Boris has again got away with today up there in Orkney, and I was just laughing with my wife about that. You know, he's just got no idea. He's so stupid. I mean, he takes a picture and holds up two crabs. Someone shouts, "Look, Boris has got crabs!" You know, again. He's just not even thinking the ramifications of that when he's, you know, he's renowned for having the morals of an alley cat. But then he turns around in an interview with Sky News and says, well, it was in 2014, it was a once in a generation, I mean, that was agreed. And the journalist didn't know his stuff and didn't have where did it say that? It didn't say that in the Scotland Act, it didn't say that in the Edinburgh Agreement, so where do you get that from? And if he had then said, well, Alex Salmond said it during the campaign, yeah, did he mention anything about 325 million quid a week for the NHS on the side of a bus? That didn't happen either, Boris. But
it's such an extremely weak argument against an NDRF. The situation has changed entirely. The whole Brexit thing has, and we're careering off the Brexit cliff soon now as well. But it's a completely different situation now. And that was very clear in the last manifesto, actually, for the Scottish Government. So it's an extremely weak argument that the Tories have for holding this back. And all they've been talking about is holding back an independence referendum. That's all Jack Carlow's been speaking about for years.
Well, this is I wrote about this yesterday when I said it. They're, in effect, what they're saying is democracy doesn't exist. Because it doesn't matter what you vote, how often you vote, and when you vote. We'll just ignore it anyway, because we don't like it. If you vote for something we don't like 2014, that we do like, rather, then we're all for that, and we'll protect that forevermore. But no, we don't like this. You've given five mandates, yeah, but we don't... No, you'll need another one. It's nonsense. They have admitted there is no democracy in the United Kingdom and in the Union.
They use the word democracy as and when it suits them, but it's not for folk like us, you know.
Sure, I mean, that's why you've got 900 unelected lords. There's nothing very democratic about that. We could spend a programme on that one, Colm.
Well, we could.
We could. How did you find over the COVID period? Were you able to go to, was there council meetings at all? Were they all online, or do you have any face-to-face meetings?
Yeah, we were propelled into having to use the technology, so we couldn't just play with it anymore. We really had a necessity to do it. So we've been at loads of meetings, but all sitting in the same chair that I've been sitting at right now. You know? And at the beginning, you imagined you were going to meetings, right? And expecting everybody else to be in a chamber somewhere around a table, but we're now used to that. We see inside a little bit of everybody's house, yeah, and you know, we dress from the waist up at least. Yeah. And that's what we do, you know. But it's working well, you know. We're now getting, I think we can even detect some body language through the Zoom meetings. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about I think when someone's flicking the finger, it's a sure sign they're not happy. What about constituents? Are you getting the same level of inquiries, or has it been difficult for constituents to get in touch with their councillors and get resolution?
It has definitely increased, and it's increasing by phone calls or by emails, yeah. Because again, the constituents, a lot of folk out there, or even by word of mouth sometimes, people are anxious, and when they're anxious, they find more things to be anxious about. So they're asking really